Thank you for listening to the Eastside Remedy podcast, where an elder brother,
hey, it's Emmanuel,
and younger sister, hello, I'm Phoebe, try to normalize mental health issues by having casual and honest conversations about them.
Hello, Coco.
Hi.
Why do you sound so tired?
Because I just woke up. And it has been a long week. I feel like it has been a long month. And I can't believe it's already the end of the month.
Yeah. It's crazy how time flies. Kind of like what you were saying earlier, the older we get, It seems like the time is passing by even quicker now.
Yeah, it's so weird, right? I guess it's because we have so many things that we wanted to do. And we don't have all the time to do all the things that we want to do.
I think when I was younger, I really wanted to grow up. But now that I'm grown, I'm like, okay, I like being an adult because I can do whatever I want. But at the same time, I wish I can stay in between like the 20s, like between like maybe like 22 to like 28, that kind of time frame.
Being a young adult?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have one more year to go.
What do you mean?
This is my last year. I'm 29, so...
Yeah, when you're 29, you're an adult. I don't know who has been telling you lies, but...
I don't know.
The moment you graduated college and got your first job, you're an adult.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Well...
So...
It's episode 6.
Yeah, we made it.
I just think it's so crazy that it's episode 6 already. We have probably about 4 more episodes to go, and then it will be the end of first season.
Yeah, and we're gonna take a break, right?
we have to give ourselves some time off to just take care of ourselves, since we talk about self-care so much, like in episode 4.
So yeah,
it's all a little self-care. I think we deserve it.
Yeah, I think throughout this journey, I've learned a lot, not just about the tech side, how to figure out certain things, but at the same time, I feel that I've learned more about you, about myself, and I think one of the most memorable conversation that we had was that time when you were trying to get me figure out what's your favorite coffee, or how do you like your coffee?
Yeah. Anyways, today's topic is going to be an interesting one.
Why?
Because it's all about shame, and the feeling of shame can be, how do I put this? It's definitely something that we talk about a lot as Asians. And it doesn't matter what, would it be like ethnicity? Like, it doesn't matter like which Asian country you're from, like Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Indonesian, whatever. Shame is such a, would you say like a topic or like a thing that all Asians would know about?
I would say so. I think it's quite common, you know. It's like you, yeah, I think you're gonna talk about this later, right? When you do something, it's not just about your own action, you know. It affects everyone in a way. So you...
Yeah. It's like a reputation thing for Asians. I don't know. What did you say?
No, I was saying it's like your family image that you have to take care of.
Yeah. Which it's still something that I don't think I fully understand, even though I'm Asian myself. It's still like a concept that I don't get. So I don't know if I've been quote unquote Americanized, but I think ever since I was younger too, it's like a concept I just don't get. How about you? Like, is this something that you're familiar with, or?
How I would see it is that, you know, you are born into this family, and therefore whatever you do, it's a representation of this family, right? So, for example, if you did something that is bad or that is not good, okay, and you're gonna embarrass your family. So try not to do bad things, I guess.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I think it's like an Asian cultural thing because we are such a community kind of society, compared to, I guess, like the more Western culture. Westerners are more individualistic, so whatever they do, like as a person, they are accountable for their own actions, they're responsible for their own actions. It's like as if parents can just say, oh, you know, it's not me, it's my son, it's my daughter. You can't say that it's my fault for doing that.
But I also think that there's another spectrum to it, you know. It's like, we can say that, yeah, don't bring shame to the family, but the other side is that if you did well, you know, you make your family proud kind of thing. You get what I mean? It's like, oh, yay, you know, my son or my daughter is a straight A student. And so it's something that the parents, they brag about, you know. But if you did something that is, again, you know, that is quote-unquote embarrassing, and you're going to bring shame to the family, right?
And
so basically, it's just the safe face mentality.
Which,
a safe face.
Yeah, which I think if you're not a native Chinese speaker, or if you don't know the Chinese language, then safe face wouldn't really make sense. I don't think, because in Mandarin we have this word or phrase called diulian, right? Literally, it's just saying throwing your face away. It just means like a shame, shameful. And so if you want to maintain your reputation, you would say things like, you know, do things that would save your face, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So speaking about shame, it's kind of similar as guilt, would you say so?
Yeah, I think it's something that people get confused a lot. But something that I've been telling my clients is that guilt is when you say I did something bad, and shame is when you say I am a bad person. So I wonder why, though, as if Asians are more related to like that shame definition more than the guilt definition. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's almost as if, like, if you were to do something bad, it's just automatically say that you are a bad person.
I think guilt is more towards an action, right?
Yeah.
So for example, let's say if you have committed a crime, so you are guilty of it, right? You're found guilty of it. That means it's something that you did. It's an action. But I feel like shame is more towards the feelings, the emotional part. Yeah.
I wonder where we get that idea of shame. Like, if you were to do X, Y, and Z, you should feel ashamed, or, you know, I wonder where do you think we get that from?
Could it be cultural expectation, you think?
Maybe.
Because different cultures, they deal with things differently, right? And sometimes people, they are even like shameful of being who they are or being born in that family. Because they don't like it.
I mean, I've definitely seen
Right.
a lot of adolescent clients, parents would do similar things here where they kind of shame their kids for not meeting their standards and expectations, which in turn, again, I guess it's one of those like parenting styles. So I don't know if it's like in Asia, like our parenting style is a little bit more different. So I don't think we have all the answers, but I just thought this is like something interesting to bring up because it definitely affects our mental health. So talking about shame too, I was thinking about like you said, expectations, right? From our family, from our parents. I know one of the huge expectation that a lot of Asian parents have is that once you're married, you are able to repay your parents for the times that they have spend on you or like the resources that they have spent on you while you were growing up. And I think that mentality is kind of weird too, because if you don't repay your parents, it's like a shameful thing. It's like, oh, wow, like you're kind of betraying your parents. Like all these years they have spent everything that they have on you, and now that you're an adult, you're not even giving them some money, which I know it's a bizarre concept for a lot of my friends here in America. When I were to talk to them about it, they were like, what do you mean? Like, isn't parenting such a selfless thing? Why would parents expect you to?
I mean, I don't think that I don't think that that's always the case because, like sometimes it happens, but for me, this is how I see it, right? Like, I don't do it because they ask me to, It's like, some parents, I would say that some Asian parents, they literally would ask their children for money. But I feel like for me, when I give it, it's because I want to take care of them. You get what I mean? It's not like, oh, my mom and my dad, they expect me to give them money, right? I think, at least for us, we are quite blessed because, our parents, they don't always ask us for money. But for me, it's just like, okay, I wanted to maybe buy something for them or, take them out for a meal. So it's not really to repay. I think it's more like, you have to see that now that they are older and maybe they don't have any source of income. And as a children, that's maybe one way to show love to parents, I think. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know whether other cultures do it, like Japanese or Koreans. But I just know that at least in Malaysia or in the Chinese culture, it's more common, but that's not always the case.
And then talking about being married, who you're married to seems to matter as well. Especially,
Really?
I have heard people, especially in America, where if, let's say, like my Korean friend, if she doesn't find a Korean man to marry to, then her parents would kind of feel like, oh, that's awkward. This person, it's not of the same, like, cultural background. And it's like as if you bring shame to the family if you're not marrying the same kind of cultural background person.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is that pretty much the same in Malaysia?
I don't think so. I think some parents, of course, you know, you always want the best for your children. And I have some friends. It's more like race, I feel like.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, if you're a Chinese, then you have to marry a Chinese. Like, I don't care. If not, I'm going to disapprove your relationship. Right? And then, you know, so how do you make that decision? You know, based on what? Why does it have to be the same race? What's the logic behind it? Right? So, I don't know. Yeah, I really...
And then the other one too is your career or your job. I know this is something that a lot of like YouTubers or influencers, they would always use this as a joke, right? Like if you as an Asian, you're not a doctor or a lawyer, you're disappointing your family. You're bringing shame to your whole family. You gotta be in the sciences, if not, like, you're nobody, basically. So I don't know, I wonder if this is more like parents, like, being able to show off to their relatives and family and say, oh, my son is a doctor, my daughter is a lawyer, like, I wonder if that has to do with that.
I think it would come back to the whole cultural expectation thing and probably their mindset, you know, like I would say that maybe back in the days, you, like you say, you represent your family, you know, you are not your own. You are your whole family. So everybody, they celebrate together, right? Everybody, they do things together, you know? So,
Yeah,
and I feel like it's actually not good, especially for younger people, because it reminds me of this one session that I had with a parent and a child. So basically the child did really well in school, right? So he's a straight A student, and then so that's a fact, right? Because that's how he did and that's the report card. But the parent or the mother just say something like, oh, huh, yeah, is he really that good? No, I don't even think that he's going to make it to college. And then and she was saying that in front of the child, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, and I have to say, no, you know, you see, he's really a good kid in the class and he did well in exams and, you know, overall, he's a strong student and he's only 13 at that time, right? So, yeah, it's really, it all comes down to the parents' expectation.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of harsh
on yeah, the kid. So, you know, from the mental health point of view, it actually... it's not good for young children because this is where I believe they will lose self-confidence and, you know, they are unsure of their identity and always trying to please the parents, right? It's like, okay, what else do you want me to do? Like, how else can I please you? Because I got all A's and, you know, I did well in school. And if that's not enough for you, what should I do as a kid, right?
Yeah, that's kind of related to our previous episode on self-confidence. So that's interesting that you talk about that. Another thing that I was thinking of too in terms of expectations within the society too, it seems like Asians don't really speak up in the society. It's like, I think, I don't know about you, but I remember... mom would always tell me to hush hush, like, you know, if I'm not happy about something, like, it's okay, like, don't make a scene out of it, like, just let it go and it'll be okay, like, don't say anything, just do your best, and if you work hard, people will see you, you don't have to say any, like, speak up your mind, basically, because if you do, it's, like, kind of, like, a shameful thing, like, why are you so opinionated, basically?
I think it's also part of the culture, like, being Asian, it's, you know, the way we communicate is usually less direct and more reserved kind of way, you know, so we just want to be respectful,
yeah.
You know, quote to quote respectful, you know, don't speak up, because sometimes the things that you say might embarrass, you know, the family,
which again is going back to that holding up your reputation. It's like as if you were to speak up your mind, then it's like, oh, end of the world. But I think that's something I've learned when I came to America is to be more, not opinionated, but more comfortable with being me and speaking my mind. And that's something that I know if I were to still live in Malaysia, I would still have that sense of like, I can't speak up. I can't say what I want to say. So
because you're being judged.
I don't know if it's like a judgment thing or more like that pressure from mom of like, why are you saying this or why are you saying that?
I wouldn't say from mom, you know, I would just say that maybe part of you, you're afraid of how people might perceive you, like how people might judge you if you say things, right? Because like I say, it all comes down to how we communicate. Because I feel like when I was in the States and after I came back to Malaysia, I kind of have to change the way that I communicate to people sometimes because I don't want them to take me the wrong way, you know?
What do you mean? Like, can you give me more specific examples?
So, like, for example, I mean, I can't think of how to say it, but I feel like when I was in the States, I can be more direct. Like, people, they are more direct, you know? They can just say it and people probably won't get offended in a way. I mean, it's not like I'm saying offended things, but maybe in Asian culture, sometimes people, they are a little bit more sensitive on how you say things and how you do things. I'm not sure if I'm making
sense.
I will never
forget when this time, this one time when I was still in high school and I was out shopping with mom and we were at this shop where she knew the owner of the shop and the owner just had a baby.
Yeah.
And the baby was so cute and, you know, a little chubby as all babies do. And I made a comment. I was like, oh, he's so cute. He's so chubby. And mom just like was like, oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. I was like, what? So like, I don't understand. I still today, I think it's not okay maybe to say that
you're calling the baby chubby. Fat. I think you're calling the baby fat. So maybe like, you know, in I feel like in Asia culture, you'd be like, oh, you know, anything more than the average, you consider like fat, and fat is bad, you know. So, yeah. So that's why maybe.
But it's a freaking baby.
Yeah, but you don't want maybe you don't want to make the parent to feel bad. So, maybe mom's like, you know, you have to watch what you say. You don't just call the baby fat. You know, even though the baby, may be a fat baby, which is like quite cute, right? Yeah, so I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, I wouldn't say unfortunately, right, but that's just how Asian communities are, probably a little bit more reserved, and you want to respect other people's space, maybe, you know, because like respect and honor, that's like a big thing in Asian culture. Right.
Yeah.
I really feel that like respect and honor that's a huge thing. Maybe in Malaysia it's still okay, but I feel like, in the Japanese culture, in the Korean culture, like, yeah, we can see that, right? When people they greet one another, they would bow, right? And so all of these things, I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to our culture and who we are. So with that on the line, respect and honor, right? So we want to do our best, or at least the family wants to do their best to keep it that way, right? That people will respect your family because of the things that you did. So
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely beauty in that side of culture, the respect and honor. I think there are definitely some Americans here that would benefit from learning about respect and honor.
I wouldn't just say Americans, I would just say like everyone, you know.
Well, yeah, but I'm just thinking because I'm living here, I don't know about other countries, so, but yeah, I'm sure. So kind of moving to the next one would be I was thinking like in terms of mental health, like having mental health issues sometimes can be like a shameful thing for Asian families, because I think it's something that people would probably say it's not real. Like why would you want to pay to go talk to someone? Why can't you just tell your parents? Why can't you just talk to your friends about your mental health? So I think in that sense, there are still some work that we need to do in terms of viewing mental health in a different lens.
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, when it comes to like psychology and counseling, mental health issues, it's still something that is quite new to human civilization, you know, probably the what last 50, 60 years, right? And yeah, I definitely feel like people are more aware of it right now, right? And it's gonna take time before places like like your employers, right? Before the employers realize that, okay, having a mental health breakdown is also the same as, not feeling well, for them to recognize that it's a real issue, right? Because some people they might be going through depression, and the employers be like, what do you mean you are having depression? What do you mean that you want to go and see somebody, like you are not sick physically and you can still work. So, no, you don't get to take a time off, right? Yeah, because I know of people who actually okay, now that when I thought about it, it was kind of a painful situation for that person. So basically, I know someone who got hired for a job, and after that, this person has to take, I think, a week off because of depression, and upon recommendation from the therapist. And then the employer, the HR, was like, well, why didn't you tell us that you have depression when we interview you? I was like, so what does it mean? So does it mean that if you knew that I have depression, then you wouldn't hire me,
I think that's crazy.
So it's like you are bringing inconvenience to the company. We hire you to work. You're a worker, right? So yeah, I think that it's definitely it's a progress, right? But in a way, I kind of like where this is going, the whole mental health awareness and the whole community. So
Yeah, I think
yeah.
people just need to have more empathy towards others just because you yourself have not experienced any mental health issues. It doesn't make the other person's issues less worse, if that makes sense.
It's like invalid, I would say.
Invalid, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It invalid.
Yeah. So I think we as a society, we just need to be more empathetic and understanding that not everyone experienced this world the same as you do, and that is okay.
Yeah. And then, but you know, but at the same time, it's so easy for people to just judge and be keyboard warriors and just write whatever they want without any consequences. You get what I mean? So so I feel like, okay, I like technology. I like that we can communicate through social media, and I mean, it's so easy, right? But at the same time, there's no regulations on, you know, what people can say, and they can just say whatever. They can be like, oh, you're so ugly, but and then that's it, you know. The person who said it, it's fun for them, and there's no consequences for those who said it, but they don't know how it's going to affect the other person because they don't care, you know. Like, yeah, you know, as much as we want everybody to have more empathy, but at the same time, there are also people like that who just say whatever they want, right? Yeah.
Whenever I talk about shame with my clients, I like to remind them of sometimes how we tend to disconnect with other people because of shame. And I learned of this concept from Brené Brown. I believe, I didn't read the book, but I believe she has a book called Dare to Lead. And she, in the book, she talks about shame and shame shields. So when you think about a shield, you think about how you're like protecting yourself. And that's kind of like a metaphor of how, yes, you are protecting yourself in a way, but then it's also causing you to not be able to connect with other people. So she was saying how there are three different types of shame shields. One is moving away, moving towards, and then the last one is moving against. So I'm just going to quickly explain what they are. So moving away means that you're hiding, you're isolating from other people. Moving towards, you have that people-pleasing kind of tendency, and then moving against, you're fighting the other person. So you're doing all these things whenever you feel shame. So I can think of a person, I'm not going to name who, but I can think of this person, whenever he feels ashamed of his own action, he would tend to be louder and try to fight and argue. But that's how he tries to hide his shame.
So that's fighting, right? To move against.
So moving against, fighting. So I just think it's interesting because this is not something that people think of. I think sometimes if you don't know that there's such a thing as like moving against, moving away, moving towards, you just think that, oh, the person is just an angry person. But no, like
kind of there's
like there's so much there's so much deeper than just being angry. That person is actually feeling shame. So this person is not just an angry person. So which anger is another topic that we could probably get into, because there's so many things under anger.
I've seen a lot of angry people in my life.
What did you want to say earlier?
No, so in a way, isn't this kind of like a defense mechanism for how people react to situations, or how they, this is how they react based on whatever they're feeling at the time. So if they feel ashamed, I think most of us, most of us would be hiding or isolating. You just want to go to your room, you know, be by yourself. Right, and just putting that shield and blocking everything. So that's that's a way to deal with the situation, right?
Is that the one that you think you do most of the time, moving away?
It's probably, yeah, if you feel shameful or guilty,
I
right?
think
But
mine would be
I
more
haven't
like
seen.
people pleasing for
Yeah,
me.
like I actually want to ask about it. So like what does it mean, like people pleasing? So if you feel guilty, if you feel shameful, so you're gonna do
So
things that please
then,
people?
yeah, so then I'll just do whatever you say. I'll be like, oh, okay, that's okay. Like, 'cause I'm ashamed of like who I am as a person, so I'm just gonna try to please everybody else and not really care about what my opinions or anything like that.
Okay. Interesting.
So,
Yeah, I think for me it's more like a moving away. It's like if, you know, I did something bad, I feel guilty and or like I'm being shameful, then I would just be like, okay, you know, let me just hide somewhere. Well, interesting, interesting.
But one thing that she talked about too, which I believe is actually in her TED Talk video, that you can find on YouTube, she was talking about how can we get rid of shame, which a lot of people probably wonder that. I think a lot of people would think that if you constantly push that feeling of shame down and not really talk about it, maybe it'll just go away. Like, no, actually, you have to do the opposite. You actually have to talk about your shame. So I think it actually helps me. I've tried this before and I still use this a lot of times. I think if this is a probably like a very silly and simple example. If, for example, in the past I have said the wrong thing, instead of like denying, like, no, I didn't say that, no, I didn't say that, like, that made me feel even more ashamed. Instead of doing that, I actually just confront it right on the spot and just tell the person, oh, really? Like, is that really what I said? Oh, I'm so sorry. Or like, oh, I didn't think about it. So actually confronting it made me feel better. Or like, I'll like kind of make a joke out of it and just be like, oh, like, I said this because of this. Oh, I didn't even think that. And just make it funny and lighthearted. So actually, by talking about it like that, I won't ruminate on it. Like, I won't go back home and think about, oh my gosh, I was so stupid for saying that. I will actually think about, oh, okay, like, I was able to just clear that misunderstanding right on the spot. So I do believe that in order to get rid of shame, we need to talk about it instead of just burying it.
Yeah, so does it mean that we can just talk to anyone about it as long as we just let it out?
I think it depends on the situation. She didn't really specify it like that, but I would say it depends on the situation. Like, if it's something more severe, I would say maybe find someone that you trust and like a sit your safe person to talk to.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, in life we have so many friends from different walks, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, you really have to share with someone, not only someone that who you can trust, but also someone who can support you, right? Or I mean, if you have to, or if you need to, you can always talk to a professional counselor.
Yeah, of course.
Like Phoebe.
And soon to be you. But I
Yay.
think it definitely it takes a lot of humility to admit something that's very
Yes,
shameful.
definitely.
And I think especially more so if you are an Asian, which is why we're talking about this today, to hopefully, 'cause you know, the more we talk about things that bring us shame, it would get rid of it. So hopefully by talking about this today, it would help some of the listeners out a little bit.
Yeah, you just want to bring things out into the light. Just bring it out. Just, you know, don't keep it there. But yeah, I do really like today's topic, and I do really think that, you know, it comes down to the whole quote unquote respect and honor culture in Asian communities. And in order to keep that, right, you quote unquote try not to bring shame to the family.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like we definitely have a lot more to talk about. Maybe we'll save it for season two.
Wow, we have season two?
Maybe. Don't know, is that a secret? Well, thank you for listening, and I will talk to Coco soon. That sounded weird, Coco. Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
My voice is crying. Okay, bye.